chapter 6. I'm pulling that like I have enough body strength to move it. So anyway, Deuteronomy chapter 6. There you go, my brother. Deuteronomy chapter, you just slide it out of camera shot. That's all we need to do. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Thank you. Easy. Don't gore me with that thing. About right here in the middle, I think will be fine. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I quit paying everybody. They're making me do all this. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to need my Bible. Yep, I'm going to need my sermon notes. Otherwise, we're going to have a very short service. Or long service, either how you want to look at it. Deuteronomy chapter 6, so. We'll be there, and then you hold your finger. We'll be in Mark's Gospel. We'll kind of see the Old Testament, New Testament, same thing. If you're looking on the app, there should have the scriptures for you. I'd have fallen, y'all would have never forgot where you were today, would you? Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We love the other pulpit, it's fine. It doesn't go down. This one goes down, and so if you've watched any of the services, where we haven't, we've used the other pulpit, I appear to be diminutive. I appear to be shorter than I am. So anyway, actually, it's kind of funny. I look like a little head just right over there. So anyway, you're smiling a little bit. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 3. Sorry about the audible there, guys. I see a lot of people fanning there. If you can knock the temperature down maybe 1 degree, that'll help between the mask and the outside temperature. Just hit the button down about one click on both sides there. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm in Mark. Let me get back over there. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 3. You've been sitting for a second. Let's stir the air. Deuteronomy 6, stand with me one more time. Verse number 3. We pay honor to God and His word. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that you may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee in the land that flows with milk and honey. Verse 4, hear, Shema. There, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you will love the Lord, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And the words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently to your children, shalt talk to them when you sit in your house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house and on thy gates. Mark chapter 12. Verse 29, Mark 12, verse 29. Jesus answering the question from the lawyer. The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Quoting Deuteronomy 6, verse 30. Thou shalt love thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. This is the first commandment. You can be seated. We've been walking our way through this idea, about the fact that the way to be truly happy in life is spend it influencing others for Christ. Last week we looked at why everybody ought to be like Andrew, and I hope that if you haven't had a chance to watch that or listen to that, you'll get a handle on that. And I think Andrew is the example that we want to follow in our lives. We want to make sure that the people around us, we work with, and our family, know who Jesus is. And if you've not taken that challenge we issued last week, find somebody to pray for. Find somebody to covenant with God that this is what I'm going to do. This is who I'm going to work on. This is who I'm asking God to come to Christ. For some of you, that's your children. Some of you, that's your parents, your step-parents, your grandparents. And so, we walk through that. And so today I want to help us a little bit. I want to suggest to you that any time is the right time. Any time is the right time to learn God's Word. Do we have it taping back there? Okay. Anytime is the right time to learn God's Word. We were a church trying to reach our community, and about 7 weeks ago, we turned into a television studio. So there are lots of things. It's more moving parts now. That's what you saw me doing at the start of the service. Anytime is the right time to learn God's Word. So where do you get that? I get that really from Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. I suggest to you, and again, the people who are the happiest in life, influencing others for Christ. I want to say that and until I think some of us believe it. This is how we be happy. It's not being selfish, heavenly for heavenly day. It's not having stuff just for fun. I need a little bit of motion here because I've already lost several of you. Anybody over the quarantine time clean out a closet or a garage or a basement and you got rid of stuff? Anybody get rid of stuff? Anybody try to get rid of stuff and somebody else wouldn't let you? I mean, if you got rid of stuff anyway, you like waited for them to leave the house or go to the restroom and you threw it out. There was some stuff I had, now it's gone. And everybody in my house just whistles like they're walking through the graveyard now. I know they did it. And I know they took the stuff. And so, yeah, we've got so much, so many things. I'm absolutely amazed. Some of the most expensive property in Hardin Valley is on top of the hill behind the banks and the pizza place and the all up here. And it is a storage facility, not just a storage, and they're nice people, not just a storage facility, but a climate-controlled, humidity-checked security system, cameras, if you want them, I believe, in the storage units. You can watch your stuff on your phone for things that you thought so little of. It couldn't stay in your home, amen. It had to go somewhere else. Now you're paying somebody to guard it. Can't be bringing as much happiness, right? Some of you are going, I got a couple of in-laws I'd like to put in there. The happiest you'll be in life offended influencing other people for Jesus. You still with me? Say amen. Which hand was it? Was it left hand? Amen. Amen. I suggest to you, based on the life of Timothy, his influence with Paul, his mother and grandmother, that you ought to be interested in four things. I think that a happy life looks like you're trying to lead people to Christ. You're trying to influence them to Jesus. I don't know where it is that we're unashamed to tell people that we're Trekkies or Star Wars people. God forbid you're a White Sox fan who's nothing to cheer about ever. Or a hapless Cubs fan. Or you pull for the Washington Redskins in football. All the sob stories of pro sports. People will wear their shirts and wear their hats like they really got something to cheer for, and you are all alone. I have a friend who's a Raiders fan, bless his heart, who's had nothing to cheer for, and I don't know when, but he's foolish. He'll put the black over on his face, and I'm going, you understand that per square mile, there's like one of you per state. You know, pulling for this team. And we're going to get them one day. I'm like, your grandchildren might, but you won't. Anyhow, you lead them to Christ. But we won't say anything for King Jesus, the one who died on the cross. I think some persecution would do the American church good. If you believe that, would you say amen? I think it would weed out the fakes and the phonies. And the rest of us go, you know, what's important is for men and women, boys and girls, to know who Jesus Christ is. And the happiest I'll ever be in my life is seeing that. I looked at the life of Andrew to help us. Today, teach him the Bible. That's what we're going to spend your time on. Next few weeks, we're going to talk about pray with him and pray for him, then help him find, follow, and finish the will of God. I think those are the four obvious lessons in the life of Timothy as you look at people and his family and outside of his family. And I hope that'll help you. So today, I suggest to you, based upon Deuteronomy chapter 6, that any time is the right time. Learn God's Word. Anytime is the right time to learn God's Word. Again, you're smiling a little bit, some of you, with your mask on. But let's try. Can we try and say that out loud? I know some of you are a little grouchy this morning. Anytime is the right time to learn God's Word. I want to try it one more time. I know the masks are tough. And I know you're like, if I wanted to do something, I would have stayed at home. I came to church to relax. I got that. One more time. Anytime is the right time in God's Word. Now, here's my question for you. Has that been true in your life this past week? Has that been true in your life this past week? I think this is one of the deals where we know in our head, but we have trouble executing it. We know this is true in our head, but we have trouble executing it. I want to share with you why I think it's so important. I told Brother Turner, I figured out I could preach about messages from Deuteronomy 6. All of you, they're getting nervous now. We're just having the one message this morning. But the Bible teaches us this, and I want to see why it is so important. If I say the name DreamWorks, anybody ever heard of the DreamWorks company? They're a movie conglomerate. Back in the middle 90s, Steven Spielberg, Jeffrey Katzenberg, and David Geffen came together and formed what would be the rival to the Paramounts and the Disneys and all these other companies. And these three giant titans of the movie world came together and formed the DreamWorks. And you may know them from some movies, me know them from their animation. What you don't know is that Spielberg put his name to it. He said, I'll do this, and here's what he insisted on. Not just the finances, not just the SKG there, not just the top billing in the three initials, but he said every building's going to have something in it, and you walk in the door. And every building's going to have Deuteronomy 6:4, the Shema. Sometimes we say the Shema, but I've researched again this week, and there's no, you don't say the E, just Shema, or Shema, I said it wrong anyway. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, is Lord. Why would he say that? Because Steven Spielberg tries to be a devout Jew. This verse, this expression, will be said by the devout Jews at least twice a day. It would be said, it would be taught to the children. It would be just as much a rite of the day as we would say getting up and eating breakfast or eating lunch. It was to be a part of what was to go on in their lives. This idea of who God is and the fact that they were to teach it to the next generation. And so when we look at this, the writer of Deuteronomy, Moses is talking here, and he's saying to them, I want you to understand something. For me to bless you, for you to receive all that you're supposed to Israel, you need to understand some things. And I want you to understand this. And he starts with these verses here. One writer said it's interesting. If you look at verse number four is the command before the command. Hear, O Israel, Lord our God is one God. And then verse 5 is the command, and verse 6 through 9 is the command after the command. And you see all these ideas there. Say, I don't see the command. Well, that's because the word here is a command. It is that word Shema, and spelled S-H-E-M-A. I know some of you are trying to write it down. It can mean a couple of things. It can mean just listen. Just listen. Anybody put on music or a TV program or something, you just got in the background just for nobody ever do that? Anybody have a husband or wife or child and they're your background noise? You're not really listening, but it's kind of there. It can mean listen. It can mean obey. I still get the shivers. If I hear somebody start the speech, I told you this, you weren't listening to me. They don't mean you didn't understand. They mean you didn't obey. Anybody besides me get the shivers when somebody starts that little lecture at speech? It can mean listen. It can mean simply to hear. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? Did you say bring the blue one or the green one? Did you hear me? And it can mean with the intent of understanding to obey. And that's the word here in the text. Israel, the people of God, you need to understand with the intent of obeying what I'm trying to say. You need to perk up and pay attention. You need to do that. Why? I'm just going to tell you this morning. Why? Number one, the Bible teaches us about the God of the Word. The Bible teaches us about the God of the Word. So what do you mean, preacher? I mean, if you ask 10 people on the street about who God is, of them, 8 of them are going to say, well, I think. Anytime somebody says, well, I think, or I feel, I get real nervous. Because 8 or 9 times out of 10, they're about to spout a doctrine to you. Nod your head if you believe that. They've got some version of God that they've somehow concocted. And they think God worries about this, and God cares about this, and God doesn't care about this, and God doesn't care about that. And I appreciate all of that, but it doesn't matter what you think, and it doesn't matter what you feel. It matters what the Bible says. The Bible is God's self-revelation to us. The Bible teaches us about the God of the Word. The Bible teaches us here plainly in monotheism. Now, as a kid, I didn't go to church. As a younger teenager, started going. And so I heard all kinds of words I didn't understand. Anybody ever been somewhere and you hear words you don't understand? Even besides me, you're a little ashamed to admit that you didn't know what they were. That's why I had to go look them up. I didn't know what was going on. When I hear monotheism as a kid, the only word I knew started with mono was mononucleosis. And mononucleosis, for all of you under 40, is the kissing disease. And all of you teenagers who know that, shame on you. But monotheism simply means that there are not many gods, but one God. Let me express to you as well, God's not claiming just to be one God. He's claiming to be one in entity, one in integrity. And he's claiming to be one and not many. There are at least three ideas expressed here. He's saying, I am it. I am the God, the Lord God Almighty. It teaches us about this. It teaches us by example, not idolatry. Let me help you. Any nation, any people given to idolatry has never prospered. Never. When people get mixed up in idolatry, God would punish them. They had 490 years where they, they had 490 years where they ignored God, ignored his laws, and they had come into deep idolatry, and God sent them, or 70 years where they'd done that, and God sent them to 490 years of captivity over and over. By the way, when they got done with that captivity, they got done with idolatry. My pastor had gone to visit him in Patel, one of our dear friends, a missionary to India. He was there. They were talking about planting another church. And God had blessed. And they were going to look at Gurgaon, which is, if you've ever called tech support, and got someone. And they said, my name is blah, da, 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 da. But you can call me Bob. If you've ever called tech support and gotten, you were either talking to the Philippines or you were talking to Gurgaon, India. And there was a lot of English-speaking people there. And they stayed in a hotel. And as they were checking in, Brother Dan said it never got me like he got me. Said I turned and there was a little motivational poster by the elevator, and they're carrying their bags and they're going to look for a place to start this church in Gurgaon. And the poster said 300 million gods and counting. India is made for you. Brother Dan said, I got on that elevator brokenhearted again. That a billion people trying to worship, not everybody, and by the way, who is Indian, is a Hindu, 300 million gods, a million people trying to worship 300 million gods. And so many of them so close, but have no idea who the truth is. To be religious and wrong to me is one of the ultimate problems with our world. He said it's monotheism. He teaches them the name of God there. Teach them the name of God. Say, where is that? He said, the Lord, the heroes of the Lord, our God is one Lord. Wednesday, I talked a little bit about this. I won't repeat everything there. But they so long did not say the name. We don't really know how the name is said now. He says, I am going to give the name. By the way, I think it's probably a good idea. We don't try and use it all the time anyway. I think we're better off doing what they did. Lord. We're better off using the title here. The Lord. The Lord God is one. It teaches us who God is. Teaches us how God acts. Teaches us what God said. Teaches us how should I live. Ravi Zacharias, who passed away this week, used to love to express a little bit differently. He would go like this. He said, the Bible teaches us about, gives us an answer to origin, to meaning, to morality, and to destiny. Let me back that a little bit for you. The Bible teaches us about in the beginning. Anybody know what that says there in Genesis 1:1? In the beginning, God. It was before everything He created. We understand where we came from because the Bible tells us. We understand origin. We understand meaning. We understand meaning. Why do you and I have value? Let me help you. Why does the child who's been abandoned have value? Why does the 35-year-old who has no idea where they are and can't take care of themselves, why do they have value? Because they're made in the image of God. The Bible tells us about meaning. Tells us about morality. Somebody says, where do I start teaching my children the Bible? I think you start with the Ten Commandments. I think you start with the Ten Commandments. Your eyes would be a lot better. They wouldn't lie, they wouldn't steal, and they wouldn't act like they're trying to murder each other. All the parents in here say amen. We've lost that. Somebody said, school system. I think it needs almost less than the school, but it needs to be in the home. The Bible teaches about morality. Why do I know things are right and wrong? Because the Bible says, the Bible teaches destiny. All men live forever somewhere. Lazarus died, and in heaven he is. He opens his eyes. The rich man, Matthew 11 says what? The rich man does what? He closes his eyes and in hell. Everybody lives forever somewhere. The Bible teaches us about destiny. The Bible teaches us how to know the God of the Word. The Bible teaches us how to treat the God of the Word. How to treat the God of the Word. How do we do that? How do we do that? I laugh a bit lately here. If the fans are on instead of auto, let's cut them back to auto, please. And Riley, if you don't mind anybody, I don't know whoever's in the back there. And I don't need anybody sick. So mid-December, just started having some side effects. And one of the side effects was sock time is complicated. My wife would do a lot of things, but helping me put on my socks, helping me putting on my socks, wouldn't rank the top 10. Somewhere around February, I looked at her and said, is this what you signed up for? She said, never doubt that I love you. Except she said it in a way that didn't sound anything like she loved me. We were joking yesterday, and I said, you know, so many things I can't do. You know, this would be the perfect time if you were, you know, trying to off me. And you're laughing too hard. And perfect time if you were trying to off me. You know, you just blame it on all these side effects. You know where the insurance is and listen. She stopped helping me with my socks, looked at me and said, I'd already done it. So if I kill you, it ain't gonna be over socks. This doesn't even rank. And at this point, I became very concerned, and I haven't eaten anything since then. And so, I'm kidding. How are we supposed to treat each other? How are we supposed to treat each other? Because we worry about other people's feelings. You should, unless you're a sociopath. We don't want to hurt the people we love. Let me ask you something. Have you thought about how you're supposed to treat the God of the Word? Have you thought about how you're supposed to treat the God of the Word? Let me invite you. He gives three little ideas. Look at them. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 4, he says, hear. That's listen. Listen to understand. Listen to obey. Before you pillow your head at night, you ought to have some of the Word of God in you. Some of the Word of God in you. Oh, Mike, what did you say yesterday? becoming a going into high school as far as a Christian walk. I thought that was a great expression there. Some of you have been in elementary school way too long. You need to be in high school. There needs to be a time where you take in the Word, whether you hear it on your audio app, whether you read it in the pages, whether it's your lunch break and you just get alone for a second in the break room. There needs to be time and you listen to understand. Let me help you. You disrespect God when you disrespect His Word. There is no way to be right with God and not be regularly receiving the Word of God. It just does not happen. Does not happen. There was there's been a lot of snap polling and data because the ground has shifted so much in the world, particularly in the U.S. And the Barna people, they're very good researchers. They don't fly off the cuff. They ask people to identify, describe evangelicals, born again believers. I went into the kind of guts of the poll, but they came back and they said one out of two, 48% of people who say they love Jesus had not attended, had not watched, had not listened to one service in 4 weeks during the quarantine. If they're off by little, that's still one out of four. This is one out of two. Church meant so little. The receiving of God's Word through the in a corporate service meant so little to them. They couldn't be bothered to quit watching cat videos or people hurt themselves on skateboards long enough to watch a 45-minute to an hour service. Let me help you. Scrum through all the music and the preliminaries. Just watch the 35-minute sermon. You click around. You find somebody just preaching 10 or 15 minutes. You put it on hyperspeed. You know, you watch the whole thing at double speed. Everybody talking like a chipmunk. Could not be bothered. You know what the Bible says to you? You need to listen. It's a command. Listen, then you need to love. Love, Lord thy God, with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. Or heart, soul, and might. Excuse me. Mark's Gospel says yes. It ought to consume you. Andrea laughed at me. She's like, sure, this is what I signed up for. I said better or worse, rich or poor, sickness and health. I laughed and was glad. Not anybody was as glad as my children because they're next helping me put on my socks. To love. I don't think you can love someone you don't know. We've got a word for it in English. It's called infatuation. Infatuation. We got another word called a crush. When we don't really know somebody, then we finally get to know them, we're really disappointed. God's the exact opposite. The more you know Him, the more you'll love Him. And I don't think you can love Him without knowing Him. We have infatuations with the Lord. We have crushes on God, but we do not have real love. How's that love look like? That love looks like it's everything. It's everything that we have to love God the way that He asks us to love Him. I've been watching a lot of Brother Zacharias Robbie. I mentioned passed away this week. He said, know Him. Love Him. Live for Him. Surrender to Him. Give everything you have to God. Gave everything for you. I love that expression. Love Him. I'm not trying to be ugly this morning. I'm trying to encourage you. I'm not trying to be hard. But if we could hook up the spiritual diodes to you, if we could put the multimeter, I don't actually know how to pronounce it, and we could hook it up to the leads of your heart, would you say this week? Would you say this month? Let's just give it out. You know I love the Lord. I've been in His Word. Wait for it. And if you were able to check my passion, it'd be pretty obvious that I love Him. And then learn. That's those last verses there. Teach them to your children when you stand, when you sit. Write them on the doorpost. Make them as frontless between your eyes. The devout Jews, the Hasidic Jews particularly, in the larger cities, you'll see them, and it looks like they've got little dreidels tied in their hair. They have little boxes, and on the dreidel or the boxes that's in their hair, on their shoes, or on their garments, or is actually in Hebrew, Deuteronomy 6:4. I don't know it's to be taken literally as you're walking around with something bouncing around off your nose, but it ought to be easy for you to communicate, and it ought to be obvious to those around you that you're a person of the Word. Let me help you. There's a sacredness that's here. Anytime's a good time to learn God's Word. I have just an idea here. It's a sacred. It says we have a sacred obligation to learn God's Word. It's a sacred obligation. We're going to have fun at our men's group. The ladies have fun with what they're doing. We're going to try and mix it up through the summer. You need us. We need you. But we need to be in the Word. We just need it. We have a sacred obligation to learn God's Word. What we do on Wednesday night's important. What we do in Sunday school is important. What we do, it's important. The opportunities we offer, man, it's important. We have to do this in particular. And again, I'm just introducing the subject. Parents to train children and children to train their children as it goes along. This is what we're to do. Someone years ago when we first got married came in and didn't mean to cut us, didn't mean to be ugly. But they said, you don't have anything about the Bible on your walls. We had waterfalls and deer and this and that. And they were surprised that we didn't have anything. We claimed to be believers. This was an unbeliever. I took that to heart. You can go to any spot, hopefully, you see something about the Scripture, something about the Lord. I'm not just interested in wall art, because he says that it needs to be written on their heart. What I read, I learn, and who I learn about, I learn to love. And then I obey him, not because I have to, but because I want to. And I think that's a sacred privilege. We have an obligation that's sacred, and we have a privilege that's sacred, to know God and love the God of the Bible. Let me tell you what I think about the 48% who hadn't watched anything, hadn't listened to anything, hadn't skimmed anything, who were willing to admit that to a pollster, by the way. I almost guarantee you there'd been no word. There'd been no verses looked at. There'd been nothing. We can get so busy. We can do a bunch of stuff that's okay, and we can do a bunch of stuff that's good, and we won't do the stuff that's best. When the heart gets cold, then everything starts flying out the window. Say, why is that person not living for God? I don't know why exactly, but I can tell you what did and not happen in the last 4 or 5 or 7 months of their life. They quit being in the Word of God. They quit being in the Word of God. The person who's learning God's Word and loving the God of the Word has no problem living for God. They want to live for God. They don't live perfectly. There's a word problem that's somewhere. When Israel obeyed this, they did well. When they disobeyed this, it was calamity. Let me help you. We're no better than they are. Say, preacher, I've not done real well this. Then start today. Young person, download the Bible app. Look at it. Sign up for it. Let your friends sign up for it. You can have some accountability there. Do this way. Some of you read the Bible as a family. I mean, keep doing that. Whatever you're doing, we get to do this. To lead people to Christ and to teach in the Bible, we can't teach what we don't know. We've got to be in the Word of God. You've listened well. Pray with me right now. Our heads are bowed. I have a real simple request for you this morning. A real simple request. Say, Pastor, I want to read God's Word regularly. I want to. Maybe you've got an unbroken string, goes back years. Maybe you've been hit or miss this year or this month. I don't know. I told Gladys's older daughter, one of my favorite memories of her mother dropping in her kitchen table, be unable to be used for eating. She'd have a wire-bound notebook, whatever book she was using to study, and her Bible. And she'd be pouring through the study, getting ready. for years beside of her rock, her easy chair. It would be a book she was working through. She challenged me. I want to challenge you. Hey, Pastor, I want to have that quiet time. I want to have that regular time of looking into the Bible, of learning the Bible, and then loving God because of all that. I want that to be the heartbeat passion of my life. To be the one of the things that people know about me. If that's you this morning, if that's you, nobody's looking around, that's you, that's your heartbeat, whether you're starting in, this is my prayer. Would you just slip your hand up with mine? Because that's my prayer. It's my prayer. What's anybody else this morning? Anybody else? We're not really having invitation calls, just trying to honor some of this distancing stuff, but I'm going to ask you to make an altar where you are. I really don't think that Satan and his forces care one whit if we all get together and go through the motions. I really don't think so. I don't. There's a lot of things. But I think he cares if you spend time in the Word. I think he cares if you pray. I think he cares if you're trying to influence others with the Scripture. So if this is your heart decision, you want you to know that it's going to be a hard decision. It's easy to be entertained to not think. It's a little different to think. I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to have some time in the Word regularly, every day.